Yes. Don't you just love this guy? Dan's just going to pray for you, and then you're off.
Right. So, Father, we thank you for John. We thank you for the talk last night. Thank you for how much we got out of it. And, Father, we pray for more of that tonight. We pray for more of you. We pray that John would speak, or you would speak through John, and that you would touch all our hearts through the words that he has for us tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. How are you feeling today? Who said tired? Wake up! No, but yeah, okay. I've enjoyed my first day with you guys. First time we've hung out. It's been cool. Some of you are, I've got to say, the worst pool players I've ever met in my life. Some of you. I mean, there was one pool game that lasted about 30 minutes. That's not a joke. It was 50 minutes for a single game of pool. That is not okay. Let someone else play the game. Okay. How long? 50 minutes, apparently. Yeah, that's a long game of pool. Also, I've been thoroughly and amazingly just schooled in cards. You've just destroyed me. Like, today I tried playing cards and just got beat, you know? I mean, I should be used to... Did you just high five? Yeah. I mean, I should be used to losing, though, having used to play for Leeds, right? Because obviously I used to play for Leeds. Yeah, nobody... I've just been called Calvin Phillips all day, so I thought might as well. That was literally why, you know? Anyway, I know he plays for Manchester City, who are going to get relegated next season. That'll be great. yesterday we talked about being formed for purpose, how you are formed for a purpose. God has formed you amazingly and incredibly for a purpose. Today, ladies and gentlemen, and it's fallen on Valentine's Day, look at that, we're going to talk about relationships. Turn to the person next to you and say, relationship. Very good. It's funny. Looking this way for me. Looking this way. So today we're going to talk about relationships. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I had the idea for this talk literally about 3 weeks ago. No joke. Literally 3 weeks ago. And I didn't really properly finish, sorry to say this, Matt, properly until about 2 days ago. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm sure it'll be great. But it's because I really want to communicate. I've been talking a lot to people recently. So this is the inspiration for this talk, right? And I've been talking to people, and they're always talking about, when they're talking about God, they're always talking about what they do for God, right? So yesterday I was talking about purpose and your calling and all that stuff. And that's amazing. And always talking about what we do for God. But very rarely do we talk about just being with God, right? So that's a lot of what this talk is going to be about. And it talks about relationship with God, and specifically humanity's relationship with God, right at the beginning of the Bible. Where's my Bible? Thank you. Right, so my Bible's on the floor. So you can come with me to Genesis 2:19, please. Right at the beginning of the Bible, it talks about our relationship with God. 2:19. Now, I'll provide a bit of context before this, right? So as a Christian, I'll let you all get to Genesis 2:19. As a Christian, look at this way for me. We believe the world was made incredibly and beautifully right at the beginning. You're all familiar with the story of Adam and Eve, right? What you might not know about that story, which is a totally separate talk, that was originally written in a beautiful poetic language for people to understand. So that was originally written in poetry, which is amazing. And I always love learning about that kind of stuff. Anyway, we believe the world was made perfectly and amazingly, and it talks about God creating human beings to be in relationship with God. That was literally our purpose originally. That was what we were made for, to be in beautiful relationship with God. I'm not going to take questions right now, if that's all right. Oh, we were literally... Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to stop now, aren't I? Anyway. And then we get to Genesis 2:19. Right, so that's a little bit of context. We were made in relationship with God in this perfect world, and it says God is lots of things in the Bible, but two things it says is he is light, life, and he is love. Right, so if we were to rebel, spoilers, we did rebel against God, which is the world we're living in now. If we were to rebel against God, because God is life and God is love, and we were going against him and rebelling against him, what would come into the world? So if we, what's the opposite of life? Just say it, death. Yeah, and what's the opposite of love? Hate. So this is pre this, but when we talk about the fall and falling out of that relationship with God, we talk about all the stuff that God isn't coming into the world. So things like death, things like hate, ended up coming into the world. Anyway, that's a little precursor for Genesis 2, 19. It says, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. At the very beginning of the Bible, we see a demonstration of God's relationship with man. Now, I hate to set the spoiler for you, but God didn't need Adam's advice about what to call the animals, did he? He's God. In fact, God probably had an even better name for a giraffe than we named it, and yet for some reason we decided to call it a giraffe, right? God didn't need us when naming stuff, but because God was more than qualified to name the animals that he'd just created, but God wanted to involve Adam in what he was doing, because of the relationship that he wanted to have with him, but also with us. Has anyone got a younger sister or younger brother or sibling or something? There we go, right? How annoying is it playing a game with your younger sibling, right? It is the most annoying thing ever. I have a nephew called Kingsley. Like, Kingsley is one of the coolest kids you've ever met in your life. He's half Nigerian, half Romanian, and the coolest lad. He's got dreads now. He's walking around. He looks amazing, but he is terrible at Fortnite. He has no idea what's going on, right? He is terrible at Fortnite. And literally, I'll be sitting and playing with him, and I just want to take over the controller because I could definitely get a victory royale, right? Consistently. I'm sick at Fortnite. What'd you say? You'll contest me. Well, maybe I'm just in the lower leagues. Maybe that's all it is. But you know, I can play Fortnite much better than Kingsley can. And it is the most frustrating thing to play Fortnite with Kingsley. But you know what? I don't play Fortnite with Kingsley so that I can win. I do it because I love him. And I want to be in relationship with him. And I want to be part of what he's doing. When it talks about God in this moment helping us look and name the animals and all that kind of stuff, in reality, the reason is because God wants to be part of our story. He wants to be in that deep relationship with us and wants to journey with us. And a lot of what this moment happens, so we believe as Christians, right, we ended up rebelling against God. We've all heard that story, right? It talks about a snake. It talks about an apple. You're probably a little bit confused about it. Don't worry. Theologies look at it. Theologians look at it and get a bit confused and discuss those kind of things. But whatever happened, we rebelled against God. We were in this perfect relationship with God to the point where it says that we walked hand in hand with God in the Garden of Eden. I don't know what that looks like. Is that a giant hand like the Simpsons coming down and shaking Homer's hand? Has anyone ever seen that in the Simpsons? When you've got the giant hand coming down. Is that what it looks like? I don't know. But whatever perfect relationship looks like, that's what we were made for. But we rebelled against God. We turned away from God. We basically stuck our finger up at God and said, you know what, I'm going to go this way and do my own thing. And then death and hate came into the world. And throughout the Old Testament, which is like a lot of this book, right? This book that we read, or you guys might pretend to read sometimes. I know, don't pretend, right? A lot of this, we witness God's people in pursuit of relationship with God, right? So we watch all these humans that go throughout all of the Old Testament, right? All they're trying to do is get back into that relationship with God that they had before because they realize this is what we were made for. It's really important to be in that relationship with God. Wanting to be in the presence wherever it may be. You've got examples of being in temples. You've got the Ark of the Covenant, or the Promised Land. In the Old Testament, I might just be saying things. Don't worry, you can go and read it another day. But all of these things is about man's pursuit to be in relationship with God and about God's desire to be in relationship with man. And it's also about man's constant errors. Who's ever messed up? I mess up all the time, constantly. You know, losing at cards probably is because of my own error, you know. And it's these constant errors in humanity's attempt to remain in relationship with God. Now, this example might be a little bit over the top, but I love a story in the Bible, right? We're not going to necessarily go and read it. I'm not going to say I'm going to paraphrase, but I'm going to go off the top of my dome. We all can look at it. It's in Exodus 32, and it's an example, right? Exodus 32. You know what? You've got very good note takers here, I've noticed, Matt. Very good note takers. But it always freaks me out in case somehow I've written down the wrong scripture, and then they go, and they're like, what the heck is this? He didn't write down the right thing. Anyway, 32, I think. No, it is 32. In it, it talks about Moses going up to a mountain, right? He's going up from a camp. So all the Jews, right, they've escaped from Egypt. You all know that story, yeah? All the Jews have escaped from Egypt. They've run over. You know, when you've got the parting of the sea, the part of the ski. Ski? Parted the sea, ran through the sea, then the things closed, and all the Egyptians go down. You know that bit, right? We've all seen the cartoon. And then they're in this desert place, right? And they are looking for the promised land every single day. Right, Moses is running, is doing his thing, leading people into what's happening. Anyway, he goes up the mountain to go and talk to God one day, right? And he left the camp all by themselves, looking pretty good, just chilling and enjoying their relationship with God, or so he thought. Now, while he was up there doing his own thing in the mountain, chatting with God, he comes back down. And all of the Jews, they've gathered gold, they've melted it down, they've formed a statue of a golden calf, and now they've started worshipping it. How nuts is that? From the time of going, you know what, God's helped us out at this time. He goes up the thing, that's the equivalent, right, of me going down the shop to go and get a loaf of bread, saying goodbye to Lucy, she's in the house with Bear, walking down, get the loaf of bread, come back, she's got a new husband with three kids and she's married, right? That's the equivalent of what happened there. It's so ridiculous and so quick. And yet somehow, again, it's an example of humanity just getting it wrong. Just as getting it wrong and as trying to get in this pursuit of God, this bit of the Bible, roughly, this bit of the Bible, the Old Testament, that's what it's about. Now, the New Testament, however, is my favorite bit, the bit we all love, is about God's pursuit of people. And that is in the form of Jesus. So there's been all this time of us trying to get back into that relationship with God. And God said, you know what? From that moment when we rebelled against God, he said, I'm going to create the most amazing, the most incredible rescue plan for your life that ever could have been created. The visible image of the invisible God came down to earth in the form of a man whose name was Jesus, right? We all know the story. He lived the perfect life, an amazing life. You know, when I said before, when the world kind of was broken and death and hate came into the world, what that meant was we couldn't get that relationship back with God. But when Jesus came and he died and he was killed, the significance of that was he took all the wrong stuff that we've done onto the cross when he died. And when he conquered over death 3 days later, that meant that now, if we want to, we can have that relationship back with God that was originally intended back then, back at the beginning. So now if we want to, we get to access this beautiful, amazing relationship that we were created for. And you know what blew my mind? This is why it took me a little while to write this. This whole book, right, is a story about pursuit of relationship, of God wanting to be back in relationship, not just with humanity, but with you specifically. This is some of these books are like 4,000 years old, they guess. I'm probably getting that wrong. But that's the kind of level of time. Throughout that whole time, the only thing God thought about was getting back in relationship with you for this moment, for right now. And you might think that that's not true, right? You might think, oh, how possibly could it be that a God that's all-powerful, all-loving, created everything, wants to be in relationship with me? Well, it's true. So yesterday we were talking about the purpose and the plan that God has for you, right? The doing stuff for God. But until you're in that relationship with God and you focus on you and him, you know, that's what he really wants. There's this bit in the Bible, and it's Matthew. You can go to this one. It's already on the screen, or it should be on the screen in a minute. It's Matthew 22, 34 to 40, right? You can go to Matthew 22, 34 to 40. That's just one verse of it. And it, I just hit a key, and it went all over the place. 22, 34 to 40. And it says, the greatest commandment, right? It says, but when the Pharisees, they were the religious people at the time, heard that he'd silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together and questioned him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him, this is Jesus they're talking about, with his questions. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. This is the dyslexia, it just kicks in occasionally. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of your prophets are based on these two commandments, right? So these basically really clever people tried to catch out Jesus, right? And there were the old laws, which was the Moses law. Is there, everyone's heard of the Ten Commandments, right? Yeah! So, right. I don't know why. The Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, someone tell me one of the Ten Commandments. Go on, don't steal. Anyone else? Don't kill. It's also the, yes, that one. Sorry? Don't commit adultery. Don't like be jealous. Yeah. Pipe your hands down. Don't be jealous is a good one. You know what the literal, this is my favorite commandment just because it makes me laugh, right? It's the jealousy one. But the original thing, if you're reading your Bible, it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's donkey. That is actually what it says. How weird is that? I love that idea, right? That donkeys were like the Ferraris back in the day. Right, that you're going into your neighbor and going, flipping heck, I want one of those donkeys. You don't want those donkeys, the grey ones, you know? They only need 1 hour feed or something, I don't know. They do 0-60 in well, they don't, but, you know. Anyway, yeah. So, I love that. So these religious people, you all right? That's fine. You good? Good. You know what? Sometimes when I'm sitting down for a long time, I've recently going through a diagnosis of ADHD at the moment. I'm not very good at. Is it just we have that? Didn't you with the dyslexia thing? We're the same, yeah. So, does anyone ever feel like when they're sitting down for too long, they just want to make a noise? So right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a noise. I'm counting down 3, 2, 1, make whatever noise. But then you've got to be silent, and because I can tell some of you are going to sleep. All right? You're going to make a noise when I get to 1. 3, 2, 1. Amazing. Amazing. Now, looking this way for me. You all right? You all right, Erin? You good? Good. It's tiring, this, isn't it, listening to me speak? Sorry. So you've got this bit in the Bible. So they're questioning about the Ten Commandments. The reason they want to do this is they think they're really clever and they want to catch out Jesus, right? They want to get him to say, oh, if murder's the best one, not the best one, the most important one, then it's okay for me to go and, like, cheat on my missus or whatever, you know? That's the kind of thing he wants to say. But Jesus, who was super clever, said this thing that's up on the screen. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. He goes to say, this is the greatest, the most important commandment. And then he says, love your neighbor. It's equally as important. But he decides to go with this one and say, this is the most important one. Now, why does he do that? What is this saying? What's this saying? Go on, anybody? Yeah, it's about our purpose, right? It's to be in relationship with God and to love him. When Jesus says this, the reason in Eden we were made to be in relationship is because that's the priority, right? The reason he says this when he's asked what's the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and your soul. It's because relationship with God is the priority, right? And that's what it means. Above anything. And this is the hard bit, right? Which is culturally, I think, we're really struggling as a church to get this one, if I'm being totally honest with you. We're called to love God over our friends. We're called to love God over our family. We're called to love God over our relationships, over popularity, over, like, I don't know, being cool. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But we're called to love God over those things. And in this Western society, the church right now is shrinking, right? I don't know if you guys know this. It's like less than 50% now. And I feel like, and it might just be my observation, but we're not prioritizing our relationship with Jesus enough. And what prioritizing relationship with Jesus looks like, and loving God with all your heart, all your mind, and your soul, it looks like reading your Bible sometimes. Not just getting your this is a little bit tough, so I'm making big assumptions, by the way, that could be wrong. If you're reading your Bible all the time, amazing, do it more. Not just getting scriptures from worship songs. It means praying in your own independent time and prioritizing God over anything else. And not that it might sound judgy, and you guys might have this right, and I'm totally wrong. But what we need to do is, as a church, because there's also an element of relationship with each other that I might talk about later if we have time. But ultimately, it's about being in relationship with God above anything else. And I tell you what, if you can prioritize your relationship with God over anything else for the rest of your life, flipping heck, you're going to have a good life. And I don't mean good as in it's going to be cushy, or it's going to... Do anyone even know what that word means? No. Yeah. I don't just mean good like it's always going to be fairy tales and rainbows. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is you're going to have the life you were made for. That's the life you're going to have if you prioritize relationship with Jesus. If you put that above anything else, above your friends, above your family, you know, you'll be able to get it. The radical stuff we read about, and if you've not read about it, read about it in the New Testament. And you listen to the apostles go off and do their insane, amazing, radical stuff that just makes me happy when I read it. That's the stuff we have in our lives if we decide to prioritize God and live life for him. So what I'm going to do is, what I want is, I want everyone to take a moment. It's going to be 2 minutes. I don't really want you to chat to other people, if that's okay, because it's just about you and God. I mean, if we're talking about prioritizing God, right, it means you can't talk to your mate for 2 minutes. And what I want you to do is I want you to write down the things that you think potentially get in the way of your relationship with God. So I'm not just talking about time, but it could be time. It could be that a lot of your time is spent, like, gaming. I know mine is. I could probably read my Bible more and not game. Do you know what I mean? It could be your relationships. You feel like sometimes relationships are getting in the way with other people of time that you have with God. It could be certain people. It could be, I don't know, even school and getting good grades sometimes can take priority over our relationship with God. So what I want you to take 2 minutes to do is write down as many things as you can think that potentially get in the way of you prioritizing your relationship with God. And just for the record, some of those things actually might be good things. And that's okay, but it's just a priority switch. Then what we're going to do is, I've got a bin bag there. It's just behind me. So I want you to write down those things. And if you feel like, you know, you want to make God the priority and you want to push those things down the list, you want to make God the top and push those things down, after those 2 minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to take that piece of paper that you're writing down on, rip it up. If you've not got a piece of paper, get one from a friend or something. Then I want you to put it in the bin, and that'll be the act of saying, God, I want to prioritize you. So I'm going to give you all 20 seconds to get your piece of paper, which is this chat, and then after that 20 seconds, we're going to be in a place of reflection. This is not a time for you to be chatting. I can hear chatting. If you need paper, pop your hand up. I want you to be writing your things. Here you go. These people need paper. I shared my story with you. You can turn the music up a little bit, just a little bit. That's fine. You may have heard me talk about my story, right? And I got my life a little bit wrong. And ultimately, I was prioritizing the wrong things. I was prioritizing my friends. I was prioritizing my reputation. I was prioritizing, I guess, just being a tough guy sometimes. And I wasn't prioritizing God. So I want you to write down some things. Give you 2 minutes, and then we're going to have a moment of putting it in this bin that I've got. And that will be an act of saying, God, I prioritize you. And then once you've started writing those things down, if you're still writing, keep writing them. I want you to look at them and think about it. And maybe start praying. If you want to prioritize God over those things, maybe you have to kind of let them go a little bit. Maybe you have to go, God, you know, I want to prioritize you over my friends. I want to prioritize you over those things. Say that in your head. Because I believe God will appreciate and love that. And also it's a moment of you going, I am about this. So if that's something you want to do in your life, and there's no pressure from me, there's no pressure from your leaders, this is only truly if you want to do this, all right? If you want, you can fold the paper up a few times or scrunch it up or rip it up. Or if that's part of you doing it, that's fine. Take those things. And as you're ripping it, don't forget what you're doing. You're saying, God, this is about you now. I'm making you priority. It's not about these other things. Okay? And then, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come and put them in this bin. Don't worry. If we need to recycle it, we will recycle it. And also, no one is going to look at these. This is just between you and God. This is just a symbol and an act of going, I'm about this, God. So this stuff, you have said yourselves. God, this is no longer the priority. I'm pushing this down on the pecking order, and God, you're going to the top of my priority list. That's what you guys have just done. And that's an amazing thing. And a step in the right direction in your relationship with God and saying, God, this is all about you. It's not about anything else. I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you for the willingness of every young person that just did that. I thank you that they want to make you a priority and prioritize relationship with you. Lord, I pray you'd be prompting them in the day today. I pray that you'd be speaking to them. I pray that they would realize what it means to have you as a parent, what it means to be with you in the day to day, what it means to live a life that prioritizes you, Lord. And there'd probably be some fear about prioritizing you as well. We say no to that fear in your mighty name. We say, fear be gone. None of that here. Because it talks in the Bible about God being like a lion, right? And you know what lions are? They're like the king, aren't they, of the jungle. And they have nothing to fear. So Lord, we pray that there will be no fear. Pray that they'll be able to prioritize you in their day to day. And that today would be a step for them of going, right, I knew this Jesus stuff before. I wanted to be in relationship with him. But now it's about me and you, God, against the world. It's about me and you, God, against everything else. And we're going to take on the world. And I pray for amazing and incredible adventures with God. I just get excited thinking about the lives that you guys could have in pursuit of God. Anyway, that was a long prayer. Amen. Amen. What we're going to do is, if it's okay with you guys, I want you to worship however you want to worship, okay? So if you want to worship and you want to put your hands out, that's a good thing sometimes that people do. They put their hands out as a symbol of going, God, I want to receive you. If you want to put your arms in the air, again, you can put your hands in the air. This is also like a national symbol of surrender, isn't it? You ever seen that in battles? When they put their hands up or they wave their white flag and they go in surrender. This is you saying, God, I'm a surrender to you. There's also, you could kneel and bow and go, God, you're my king. It could be that, you know what, you're like, I just want to sit and soak. I'm not a soaker, but I know some people are soakers with God. If you want to do that, you can do that. What I want you to do in this moment, we'll do just a song and then we'll come back and do some other stuff as well, because I've got more to talk about. But for right now, I just want you to worship however you want to worship and be in God's presence however you want to do that. Lord, we thank you that we were made for relationship. I thank you that you came and died and came back to life, also that we could be back in that relationship with you like we were originally intended. God, I thank you that you created the most incredible, amazing rescue plan for our life, thousands of years, all just so that we can say yes and be in relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. If everyone can sit back down. That was, I just felt like that bit probably needed a response in itself. You're kind of getting too many talks. Is that okay, Matt? Sorry. Too many talks. You guys can just, I mean, you can hang out there, do what you want. You want to stay there? It's cool. I'm going to be talking for about another 5 minutes or so. So, great. We spoke about relationship with God, right? So we've spoken about our purpose, form for purpose. We've spoken about being formed for relationship. And there's other kinds of relationship that God talks about in the Bible. It's not just about our relationship with God, right? As much as that is the priority, it also talks about our relationships with each other. And this is something that can be really hard sometimes, being in relationships with each other. Because as we know, don't worry about the worship guys right now. I know you're looking at them. Look at me, all right? Give me all your attention right now. Thank you. It's also about our relationships with each other. And that's the bit that can be really hard, right? Because people mess up. People get stuff wrong. We're always, you know, doing things incorrectly, and sometimes we can offend people. And this is the bit that I think sometimes is the hardest thing, is what the Bible talks about as church. Church is the hardest part, I find, of being a Christian, which is being in relationship with each other. Genesis 2:18. All of it comes back to the start, guys. All of it goes back to Genesis and the first thing. The Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper. Right? Right from the beginning, we weren't meant to be humanity ourselves, by ourselves. We were meant to be humanity as a group. God recognized that man was made to be in relationship. Now, have you ever felt alone? Has anyone ever felt alone here? Yeah, I felt alone too. It's really hard sometimes. And I think that is a feeling that we feel like we're meant to be in relationship with people. We're not supposed to isolate ourselves. We're not supposed to be on our own. And we're not supposed to go, you know what, I'm going to do this by myself. Because that's not the way we were created. Proverbs 27:17. Some of you might have heard this. This is a good one. Is anyone sad I've not done a rap today? I can see your faces. When's he going to rap? All right? I'll do a song tomorrow, okay? All right? I can see your faces. That last one, the one we're going to now, is Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, a good friend sharpens a good friend. You notice the second bit. So the first part of the Bible scripture we said earlier was love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Your friends are your neighbors, and we're called to love them well. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, a good friend sharpens a good friend. We're created to help one another. And I think sometimes we can get that wrong. We're created to be helpers. And likewise, we're created to help. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. This is the bit that I love, right? 1 Corinthians 12. Where was it specifically? It talks about it being a body. I had it a second ago. There it is. It goes from 12. It's titled, "One Body, But Many Parts." There is one body, but it has many parts. But all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We're all baptized by one Holy Spirit, and so we are formed into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free people. We were all given the same Spirit to drink. So the body is not just made up of one part. Can you not be chatting at the moment, please? I can hear some whispering. Thank you. It's many parts. Suppose the foot says, "I'm not a hand, so I don't belong to the body." But saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. Suppose the eye says, "I'm not an eye, so I don't belong on the body." But saying this, it cannot stop being part of the one body. There's two bits to this that I wanted to talk about. The first one is, sometimes you can look at people and you can go, "Well, I'm useless because I'm not meant to be that person." You might go, "Oh, I see Matt speaking," or "I see the guys in the worship team," and you look and you go, "Oh, I can't be one of those. Therefore, I'm worthless." That's not the case. In the body of Christ, in the church, in the relationship with everybody of the body of Christ, there is a purpose for you. And secondly, this is saying we're meant to work together. You're not meant to do it on your own. And when I say you're not meant to do it on your own, you're not just meant to do it with you and God. You're meant to do it with the people around you and the people with you. So what I thought would be really beautiful, because you're called to do all this together as a group, a guy who used to teach me used to call it mates on a mission, right? Christianity is like you and your mates being on a mission. And I love that. We've got our groups, haven't we? So what I thought would be really nice, because we're talking about, you know, it's not only about relationship with God, it's about relationship with each other. I'd love for us to get into our groups together, if that's okay. And then what we're going to do when we do that, keep looking at me, is you might feel uncomfortable doing this, and that's okay. But you're just going to pray for each other. And you're going to pray because you're going to be doing this together, this journey with God. And pray positive prayers. Pray, "God, I thank you for this person, and I pray that they have an amazing relationship with you and that we can be brothers, sisters, and siblings in Christ." Is that cool with everybody? Amazing. So how do you want to get into groups? I just realized I've said it, and then I don't know how we're going to do it. Great. Okay. These guys are going to go somewhere. Once you finish praying, why don't we come back? What time should we be good to come back for an ending worship session? Can we stay in here? Oh, I thought you said when we're going somewhere, you're going out to other rooms. Yeah. We'll pray for maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Leaders, you might need to lead it with everybody and praying as a group. Pray that you would be mates on a mission. And then we'll go into a time of worship. Yes, in a minute. One sec. Has everyone got a leader in their group and or is in their group? Okay. So, this bit, I'm going to be honest with you, is going to be a little bit manic, and that's okay. All right? So what we're going to do is maybe at first we pray for the person on our right. How about that? Right? And the way we're going to do this initially is if you would like to, you ask the person's permission first, but if they would like to, you might even be able to pop your shoulder on their hand, but you've got to ask them first. If they don't want to, don't worry, that's fine, right? Your shoulder on their hand, your hand on their shoulder, there you go. And then what we're going to do is we're going to do a quick 1 minute prayer, all right? And you can say whatever words you want. You can not say any words. That's okay. But what I would like you to say is, "Lord, I pray that you would bless insert name here and that they would have an amazing..." Don't say insert name here. I hear the laughs. "I pray for insert name here and that they would have an amazing weekend at some point." So I'm going to give you 1 minute. This might make you feel uncomfortable, but this is us supporting our brothers and sisters in Christ and as being a body together. All right? So let's go for it. 3, 2, 1. Start praying for the person next to you. Saying whatever you want. Lord, I pray you bless every person in this room. I thank you that we're meant to be a body. I thank you that we follow you together. I thank you that there's an amazing and incredible plan for these people's lives and that won't stop. I pray that they would be mates on a mission. Amen. Everyone said? Amen. When I say and everyone said, you all say amen. And everyone said? Okay. Now you know what we're going to do. Are you going to guess? We're going to go to the person on the other side. I want you to put your hand on their shoulder. And you're just, oh, look, some of you are already going for it. I'm going to count down for 3, 2, 1, and you're going to pray for that person. Just pray that God will bless them. They'd have an amazing time while they're here. And thank God that they're alive, all right? 3, 2, 1. Go and do some prayers. What we want to do now is, I mean, we've ran over, but this is good. As a recap, right, you were made for relationship. You were formed for relationship. You were not only formed for relationship with God, but for relationship with others. Look in this way for me. Formed to be part of a church, and that is the body of Christianity. Now, guys, the church at the moment is not in a very good place in Britain. We are shrinking. And ultimately, you guys are the people that can help change that. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But there's an amazing, incredible plan, and you guys can be part of it. Yesterday, we spoke about there being an amazing purpose for your life. You're being formed for purpose. You were formed for purpose, and you were formed for relationship. Now we're going to have a time of worship, so I want everyone nice and sensibly, quietly, to go stay in this moment, stand up, get ready for some worship, and we're just going to worship God for being an amazing God.